Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I thank you for joining in today and listening to this recording. Today we're going to try to finish up our study of the letter F, that's study number 6A, of forgiveness and forgiving. I hope you've been going over these scriptures that we've been going over through the previous, I think it's what, five lessons in this one. This will be the sixth. I hope you've been going over the scriptures and seeing what the scripture says about forgiveness and what's true and what's not true and what Bible doctrine there is concerning forgiveness and what God thinks about forgiveness. And today, just to recap just a little bit, in this study of forgiveness and forgiving, we talked about some of the words, the synonyms in the scriptures, and the uses of other words other than forgive and forgiveness and so on and so forth. We talked about other things that the Lord has said, like redeem, and I am he that redeemeth you, and remission, and words like that the Bible does use in place of the words forgiveness, which are scriptural and show the Lord's forgiveness. We also talked about what is the basis of forgiveness, about God's nature, and we talked about God's grace and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood is no remission. There's no remission of sin. Sin cannot be forgiven without blood. And even in the book of Exodus, when the Lord was describing to Moses how to build the altar or the tabernacle and the pieces of furniture that went in there, and he was talking about the blood, and you'll see that even through the altar and the brazen altar and the altar of prayer and the table of showbread and the lamp that was in the tabernacle in the holy place, all of those had to do with blood. And they had to be, blood had, especially on the altars. The altars had to be anointed with blood, and blood had to be part of it. So blood is the Lord Jesus Christ. Blood, even in the Old Testament, blood, the Lord required blood for the remission of sins. And the Lord requires blood in the New Testament, but only the blood of one person, and that's his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ shed his one time, and he says he shed it one time for all, for everybody. The Lord died for all men. Whether you receive him as your Savior or not and believe on him or not, that's your choice and you have that right, but you're going to answer to what your decisions are also. And I hope that you're not a fool and will not. There's no excuse in the world for you not to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have a written document that tells you nothing but the truth. It's never been proven wrong. There's a bunch of scoffers and mockers, and they've been in the world since the world's been, and trying to disprove the Word of God and cast doubt upon it and everything else. But they're going to answer for all that also. But as far as courtroom and judicially, nobody's ever proven the Word of God wrong in any way. They've never proven any of the history in the Word of God. The Word of God's a history book. It tells you the actual truth of what went on in history. And it can be proven. And it can be looked up. And it's documented, some of the things in the Scriptures that the Bible talks about. Dispensations and all of the things that the Lord talks about, and the men that the Lord talks about, and all of them, they exist. They existed, and they're there. But we talked about forgiveness, and we talked about what is the significance of forgiveness. The significance of forgiveness. Forgiveness shows God's righteousness. Forgiveness makes salvation real. Forgiveness shows that it must be preached. It must be preached. I hope that you have made some decisions and some changes, and you've made decisions, and you made them your decisions, and you're sticking to it when it comes to forgiveness and forgiving, and that you've taken the Lord's opinion and the Lord's advice, and incorporate it into your life, into your thinking, and into your heart, and allow God the Holy Ghost to teach you about forgiveness and to help you to forgive and to receive forgiveness. We talked about forgiveness and how much and how long and what's the measure of it, if you remember. And forgiveness is to be unlimited. Forgiveness is to follow repentance and confession. Forgiveness is to be pursued. Remember that? Forgiveness is to be as God forgave us. For Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Aren't you glad? Doesn't it just make, every time you think about that, it does me. Doesn't it make your heart just have joy and take a leap of glee whenever you think about, I'm forgiven? And you say that to yourself, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. And, you know, how can that be defeated by anything? We're forgiven. The Lord has forgiven us all trespasses, the Bible says, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ done. And all it takes is for us to believe on His name and call upon Him. And the Lord said that He would give us eternal life and forgive us all our trespasses. That's from eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. And we get into more of that as we go through the study, and more truth about that. Forgiveness is to be on purpose. On purpose. None of this fakey stuff. The world knows how to give forgiveness in a fake way, and we used to when we were in the world. That's what we did, and we don't do that no more. We know that forgiveness must be on purpose, and that old saying, forgive and forget, that's just as real and true and doctrinal as it can be. Forgiveness is forgetting. It's on purpose. You don't ever bring it up again, ever. Matter of fact, you can't remember it anymore. You've dismissed it. It's gone. And you forget it on purpose. Forgiveness is to be on purpose. It's to be on purpose. Now, what are the benefits of forgiving one another? We talked about that. Well, it benefits because it is the means of our forgiveness. Forgiveness benefits because it is the means of our forgiveness. Forgiveness benefits because it restores Christian fellowship and spoils Satan's attempts. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be warring. You're supposed to be battling. You're supposed to be in line with what the Scriptures say your measure is. If you're a man, the Scriptures describe what your measure is and where your standing is and where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be doing and behaving your conversation as a man, a Christian man, according to the Scriptures. You're supposed to line up like a man is supposed to line up according to the Scriptures and be pleasing to the Lord. You women, you're supposed to do the same thing. You're supposed to line up with the measure that the Lord has measured out to you in the Scriptures, and you're supposed to line up with that, and you're supposed to be pleasing to the Lord in your conversation in whatever measure you are. If you're a wife, you're supposed to line up as a wife. If you're a single woman, if you're whatever your measure is and whatever your state is in the Lord, you're not to leave outside your measure. Women or men or children. And if we'll do that and we'll follow what the Lord says, it'll restore and forgive. It'll restore Christian fellowship, and us being sincere in our walk with the Lord will spoil Satan's attempts, because he's definitely going to attempt. Don't imagine that Satan has forgot about you. The Bible says that he is seeking. Be not deceived, God, that Satan is, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's going to come across your path, and some of those unclean spirits and the angels that fell with him, they're going to tattletale on you. And you're going to get it. They're going to come after you. But there's nothing to fear. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. But forgiveness is one big thing that the enemy uses, and a wile that he uses against us in Christendom. And uses that to break up Christian fellowship and to spoil churches and to knock pastors out of the pulpit and all kinds of things. But forgiveness is supposed to be very important thing in the Christian walk. Forgiveness benefits because it provides cleansing for those that are involved. It provides cleansing that you may be healed. That ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth much. Your prayers are not going to go unanswered. They're not going to go unanswered. The Lord said he hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. Now, he's either a liar or he does that. And we know that the Lord is not a liar. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. There's a difference. It's not that he chooses not to lie. He can't lie. A big difference, isn't there? Forgiveness benefits because it seeks to restore trust. That's a big, big thing. That's a big thing. You say that you've forgiven somebody, then you should trust them again. There's an old saying that Ronald Reagan came up with, and there is some truth in it. It says, trust, but verify. Now, there's some truth in that, and it can be just, and it can be trust. But trust the trustworthy. If somebody is trustworthy, then you trust them. The Bible says, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And harmless as a dove. If you've forgiven somebody, then it should be very close to restoring trust. And every situation is different and should be bathed in prayer between the offender and the offendee. And the forgiveness and prayed about, and prayer should be one of the top things having to do with forgiveness, that the Lord's right in the middle of the conversation with you, and things will go well. Now, the last thing that we want to talk about in this study, and this is the ABCs of Christian growth, and says everything about what the Bible has to say about forgiveness and forgiving, but we've gone over quite a bit of material, and if you'll get these studies and write me and you want these things on paper, you can sit down and really go over them and examine what the Word of God says. But I know you're taking down these verses and you're studying it and you're listening to this, and even if you don't, you're still getting fed. God, the Holy Ghost is teaching you, and he's feeding you, and you can trust in that. Anytime you honor the Word of God, the Lord honors you back. Now, we're going to talk about scriptural examples of forgiveness and forgiving. If the Bible told us to forgive and then didn't give us any examples about a history of forgiveness, but the Bible's got all kinds of forgiveness in it from some of the people that are in the Scriptures. For instance, there's a lot of Scripture having to do with all this, but I'm just going to read the Scripture. I'm going to give them to you at the end, but I'm just going to read the Scripture up until we get to the point of forgiveness and show you who these people are so that we can... So I don't take up a lot of your time, because you can go back and you can read these scriptures, and I hope that you will. I know you will. All right. But the first example of forgiveness, and you probably already know it when I bring it up, is Genesis chapter 33 and verse 4 through 15. And it's concerning Esau and Jacob. There was forgiveness in that matter. Remember what happened? Esau and Jacob, and Jacob went in there and deceived his daddy and got the birthright. And then he had to flee from Esau because Esau was going to kill him, and his mama told him to leave. Remember? Well, they wrapped that thing up, and they had forgiveness when it was all over with. When Jacob came back with his family years later, and Esau went out after him, Jacob was scared to death. But Esau, whenever they seen one another face to face, it wasn't nothing like what Jacob thought it was going to be. There was forgiveness there. The Bible said, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children with God, which God hath graciously given thy servant. That's Jacob talking. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near, and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? Well, you know, those were the people, those were all the animals and all the things that that Jacob had put way out in front of him. So Esau would run into that, and he would give him gifts before he actually met him face to face. Remember that? And that then he goes on into that. But you see, there was forgiveness in that matter. And both of them were willing. It was scary for them to come together. Jacob was scared. He thought Esau was going to kill him because he had 300 people with him, I think, soldiers with him or men with him or something like that. I might could be wrong, but a lot of them. And he heard that he was coming, and he thought he was coming to kill him. But he trusted the Lord, and he went back to make peace with his brother. And he didn't know whether he was going to get killed or not. He was scared to death. But it turned out all for good, just like the Lord said it did. And Esau didn't even bring the matter up of being deceived. They never even talked about it. The Bible says, nay, I pray thee, if Esau told him to keep all of his gifts, and then Jacob told him, nay, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand, and therefore I have seen thy face as though I have seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that I brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. So see, they patched everything up. But they were enemies. These are brothers. And they was enemies for a while. But over the years, and the Lord worked all that thing out, and then the Lord brought it back together where they were going to have to meet, and they were scared. Jacob was scared to death about it, but he trusted the Lord, took his family, took his children, took his cattle, and went back. And he knew he was going to have to face Esau, but the Lord worked it all out, and they didn't even talk about it. When they seen one another, their hearts knitted together, and they loved each other, and the forgiveness was there. So you see, that's an example, was Esau and Jacob in Genesis there. Also in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 8 through 15, we see another one there. It said, in verse 8, it says, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. You already know who I'm talking about, don't you? And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say to him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. You remember that story? Joseph's brothers, they was jealous of him, threw him down in a pit and counted him as dead, and went and lied to their daddy and told their daddy that he was dead, and the animal chewed him up or whatever and tore him all to pieces. And his daddy mourned about that for years and years. And the whole time the Lord had planned, because he knew that there was a there was a famine coming, and he wanted to get Israel, he wanted to get Jacob, and get his family down to Egypt where they'd have something to eat and be able to survive. And that's when he was starting the nation of Israel. And right about that time. So Joseph was a big part of Israel coming about. And the Lord used Joseph, even though it looked like that he was a prisoner, and he was for a while, but he wasn't in prison for doing wrong. He was in prison because of the Lord's plan. And Joseph didn't hold no grudges when his brothers came down there. He played a few games on them to find out where they stood and everything, you know, and tested them. But whenever they found out it was him, boy, they went to apologizing, and they were so sorry and everything else. But you know what? Joseph said that was the Lord's plan. He said, don't worry about it. You're my brothers. I love you. And go get my daddy and bring him. And let's be family again. And then he told Pharaoh and rejoiced about it, and there was forgiveness there. Them brothers of his was scared to death when they found out that was Joseph ruling that place. But Joseph trusted the Lord the same way that Jacob trusted the Lord, and forgiveness was there because he had courage. And that's the same thing you got to have. Forgiveness takes courage. But the Lord always brings a sincere heart about, and the Lord is for forgiveness. He wants forgiveness to be there, but sincerity has to be in it, and courage has to be in it. There's another one in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 1 through 13, and Miriam and Aaron, you remember them, that was the brother and sister of Moses. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Miriam and Aaron were mad because Moses married this Ethiopian woman. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. That's pretty meek. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the front of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth, and he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, and whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And of course we know that the Lord did. The Lord healed Miriam. But he made her go out of the camp for 7 days as an unclean, and to teach her a lesson, and that you don't mouth and backtalk the man of God, or try to usurp authority, or try to stand up and think that you're somebody and get a problem like we all do sometimes like that, and think that we're more than we really are. But Aaron, it scared Aaron to death when he looked at his sister, and the Lord judged her and gave her leprosy. And um, And then he asked Moses, please intercede. And he knew that Moses could talk to the Lord. Aaron didn't try to talk to the Lord. Aaron was part of the problem. But, you know, Moses could have said, nah, that's what you get. But he didn't. He immediately asked the Lord and went straight to him with the straightest words. He said, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And he asked the Lord to heal her, and the Lord did. And they didn't have any more problems with that. But forgiveness, you see. And 2 Samuel, there's another fellow. So we see Moses, we see Joseph, we see Esau and Jacob. There was forgiveness all through that, and forgiving and forgiveness. Now in 2 Samuel chapter 19, it says, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king, and he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, let not my Lord impute iniquity upon me. Do not thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem. You remember the story of that. David was being exiled, and King David and his men were leaving out of Israel. And when they were leaving, there was this fellow named Shimei, and he was up there throwing rocks and cussing King David when he was leaving and he was being exiled. And he was taking advantage of the king going out of town, and he was cussing him, and he was throwing rocks at him. And his men wanted to go over and cut Shimei's head off and take care of the problem, but David said, no, leave him alone. The Lord's having him cuss me for some reason. And they went on, and they went through the time, and him and King Saul and all that. Well, when David was fixing to get the throne, and the Lord dismissed King Saul from the throne and give it to David, and David was coming back into Jerusalem, Shimei ran down there as fast as he could and met him at the river and got on his hands and knees and begged him not to kill him for what he'd done. And David forgave him. David forgave him. And his men told him, man, kill that sucker. But David said, what have I to do with thee, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? So David decided that he wasn't going to kill him, and he wasn't going to give him what he deserved, and he would have deserved it. But you know what he did? He forgave him. Now, later on, Shimei tried to pull a fast one on David's son, Solomon, and he paid for it then. But this time, he didn't. David forgave him. And therefore, the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die, and the king sware unto him. And that was the end of that. Forgiveness. David exercised forgiveness. Moses exercised forgiveness. Joseph did. Esau and Jacob did. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 1. Now, see, there's all kinds of forgiveness as examples in the scriptures that the Lord give us. And did the people deserve their punishment? Did Miriam deserve that leprosy? Well, apparently the Lord thought she did, because he sure put it on her. Did Shimei deserve to die because of the way he talked to the king whenever the king was leaving out Israel, throwing rocks at him and everything? He sure did. Just because somebody deserves their punishment doesn't mean that it should be given to them. I mean, think about us. What do we deserve? I mean, if we got what we deserved, even after being forgiven, if we got what we deserved in our attitudes and the way that we behave, even as Christians sometimes, if we got what our sin deserved, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? The Lord exercises more forgiveness and more understanding and more forgiveness on us as individuals than we even realize. 1 Kings chapter 1. Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man. Now, this is a continuation of Shimei. When Solomon, David's son, took the throne, Shimei thought that Solomon was going to kill him. And Solomon promised that he wouldn't kill him, but he made a condition to it that he had to stay in Jerusalem and never leave Jerusalem. He said, the day you leave Jerusalem, you're going to die. And one of Shimei's servants later, ran away from him and went over to another town. And Shimei didn't think nobody was watching. He went over to get him and bring him back. Well, somebody told on him. And King Solomon found out, and he brought him before his throne. He told him, didn't I tell you that, not to go out of town? And he ended up getting it for that one. But if thou wilt show thyself worthy man, there shall not a hair of his head fall to the earth. But if wickedness be found in him, he shall die. Now, that was Solomon talking about his brother. When his brother tried to pull a fast one on him, when Solomon was getting a throne. And Solomon forgave him. His mother come in and asked that nothing would happen to him. And Solomon said, if there ain't nothing wrong, if he's a worthy man, then he'll get forgiven. So you see, Solomon had forgiveness. Now, also, in Luke chapter 23, Solomon, David, Moses, Joseph, Jacob, Esau, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. In the middle of the Lord's suffering, right in the middle of probably the very worst part of his suffering, being nailed to that cross, and just before he was fixing to be put up, drop that cross down in the hole and nailing him, he was praying to his Father and asking his Heavenly Father to forgive them, for they didn't know what they was doing to him. They didn't know what was really going on. You know, that's some forgiveness in it. So the Lord Jesus Christ has shown us forgiveness all through the Scriptures and his humanity, and as being the Son of God. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and 60, there's another fellow named Stephen. Remember him? And they stoned Stephen. And you remember the Apostle Paul was standing there witnessing it, except his name was Saul then. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, the last words that he said just before they knocked his brains out. Somebody hit him right in the head, probably with a stone. But when he left his body, just before he left his body, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So we see that Stephen, even when he was getting stoned to death, found it in his heart that he knew the Lord and his heart was right with the Lord, and he couldn't do anything but ask for forgiveness, you see. And when our hearts are right with the Lord and we're walking like we're supposed to be walking in truth and in sincerity, we can forgive with Christ's love. We can. And you can too. It ain't easy. It takes courage. Well, it is easy. It takes courage and there's fear in it, but it's a good kind of fear, and it's a good kind of courage. And the fruit of it, the fruit of forgiveness, is always prosperous and always good for everybody. We should seek forgiveness. And we should seek to give forgiveness immediately. In 2 Timothy 4:16, it says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. You know who that was, don't you, in 2 Timothy? That was the Apostle Paul. He said, at the first answer, no man stood with me. All his Christian buddies, everybody forsook him and left him. And he was all alone. But he didn't pray for God to kill him or to punish him. He prayed for God to forgive him. And he said, I pray God that it be not laid to their charge. And forgiveness. So we see Esau and Jacob, we see Joseph, Moses, David, Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Stephen, and the Apostle Paul. All of them examples of forgiveness and forgiving. There were people that needed forgiveness, and there were people that needed to give forgiveness. And you see, all these situations were healed up. Everybody was okay after that. and both sides, the forgiven and the forgivers, were all healed and the situations mended. Forgiveness. In closing, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, the Bible says, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Did you hear that? Now listen to what the Lord said. He said, "For I will forgive their iniquity," but there's an additional part of that forgiveness. "And I will," in other words, it's a choice that I'm making. It's my choice. It's my will. "I will," the Lord said, this is my will, "I will remember their sin no more." So forgiveness is forgetting, and it's forgetting on purpose. The Lord said, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." That's what you need to do. Somebody is offended against you, you need to scripturally go to them and seek forgiveness and seek to give forgiveness. And I will remember their sin no more. And after it's all over and the conversation is done and you hug necks with them and kiss one another and all that's done, then you come back home. And when the devil tries to remind you that somebody has, that they didn't mean it and they doing this and they doing that and blah, 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 then you say to yourself, "I will remember their sin no more." You forget it on purpose. It's done, over, finished. There's forgiveness there. Forgiveness has been given. Forgiveness has been received. And it's done. And you treat it like it has never, ever, ever, ever happened. That's Bible forgiveness. It's not like the world, is it? You know, there was a time when the Moravian missionaries had trouble trying to communicate forgiveness to the Eskimos. There were some missionaries went to the Eskimos and was trying to speak their language and trying to find a word for forgiveness. The Eskimos didn't have a word in their language for forgiveness. The Eskimos had no word for forgiveness, so the missionaries proceeded to invent one. And they started putting words together and everything else together, trying to get a word that would describe forgiveness so they could preach to the Eskimos forgiveness. And they come up with this word, and I'm going to spell it for you. It's called ISSUMAGIJOUJUNGNAINER-MIK. Now, that's one word. And it was them putting all these letters together in the Eskimo language. This is a true story. Putting all these letters together and trying to get this word that when they say it to the Eskimos, they'll understand it means forgiveness. Now, you try to say that word. I've been practicing it for about, I guess, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years or whatever. But I can almost say it now. But the word actual meaning in English, Isumajijujungnainermik. That's the word, Isumajijujungnainermik. Okay, and I hope there ain't nobody out there that knows how to speak that and said I really messed that up. But here's what it means in the English that the missionaries put it together with. It means, quote, "not being able to think about it anymore." Isumajijungnainermik means in Eskimo, not being able to think about it anymore. Forgiveness means not being able to think about it anymore. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, we just read that. It says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." The Bible says, "And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Praise His name. The Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us. The Father has forgiven us. God the Holy Ghost has been given to us to teach us and to comfort us and to lead us into all righteousness. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous. And we have a Father that takes His fatherhood very seriously with us and has promised that no man's going to take us out of His hand. There's all kinds of reasons for you to forgive and to seek forgiveness and to give forgiving. There's all kinds of reasons. So forgiveness and forgiving. Pretty good stuff, huh? I hope that you will pray and ask the Lord for the courage to do what you need to do or to receive what you need to receive. Whatever the situation, with sincerity and truth and prayer, and seek the Lord's face about it first. Pray about it, and then take courage and get that thing healed, and be able to be one of the ones that say, not being able to think about it anymore. I heard a guy say one time that I liked that said somebody was trying to remind him and apologize to him again, and he said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I distinctly remember forgetting that. I distinctly remember forgetting that." Now, man, you get a hold of that and you got something. I distinctly remember forgetting that. And every time, how many times have you ever done something and sinned and then went to the Lord and asked Him to forgive you and cleanse that thing? And then 5 minutes later, the devil says, "Well, the Lord didn't hear you. He's still mad at you about that." So you go back and you try to ask Him to forgive you again. Well, God keeps His promises the first time you ask Him. And I can imagine that the Lord would say to you, "I distinctly remember forgetting that." That's the Lord's kind of forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? Praise His holy name. Praise His name. He's a wonderful, kind, compassionate, beautiful God that we have. And He's real. And you know He's real. And let's serve Him like He's real, okay? So forgiveness and forgiving. Been a good study. The ABCs of Christian growth. And we will go into our next study on the next recording called the letter G. Let's see, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, G, and it'll be study number 7, and it'll be for God, the ABCs of Christian growth concerning God, and we'll study what the Bible has to say and what it has not, or what it's not has to say about God. Amen. So the Lord be with you, and I thank you for listening to this study and participating in it, and I will give you the scriptures on the next recording that we went over today, okay? Because I forgot. I'm sorry. God bless you, and bye-bye.